Good evening, and I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Revelation 16 as we consider the theme this evening on the Battle of Armageddon. Now, the context of this battle takes place within the pouring out of the sixth and the seventh vow judgments of the Lord. This is also known as the seven bowl judgments of the Lord, which is the pouring out of God's wrath. And this pouring out of God's wrath, its severity will exceed the judgment of God's seven trumpet. So what will precede and come before the seven bowl judgments of the Lord would be the seven trumpet judgments of the Lord. And this would be a judgment of God upon the rebellion and the sin of men. But this seven bowl judgment, it will exceed, it will be even more severe than the seven trumpet judgment. And you can see the whole seven bowl judgments described in Revelation 16. The first bowl judgment will describe how God will pour out his wrath, bringing painful sores upon the people who have been worshipping this Antichrist and his idol and his false image. This is the first bowl judgment that you find at the beginning of this chapter. And from then on, the Bible will continue to describe various other bowl judgments, which would be very, very severe, and the climax of which would be now God's judgment being poured out as the enemies of God, the armies of the world, gather at this battle known as the Battle of Armageddon. So this would be the context of this whole battle, where it's in the midst of God pouring out his wrath upon the people. And the Battle of Armageddon really is the climax of the rebellion of the world against God. And as God continues to pour out his judgment, the people will harden their hearts against God. And so the whole pouring out of God's judgment will conclude and end with the defeat of all these enemies. But what is the context surrounding the pouring out of this judgment as well as the Battle of Armageddon? If you read a few verses before verse 15, okay, so we have read earlier on from verse 15 to verse 21 of Revelation 16. But if you look at the few verses preceding verse 15, the Bible will describe how the enemies of this world will gather together in this battle and this rebellion against God. And this is the great deception. This deception is led by the Antichrist and the false prophet, with Satan himself energizing them. And some have called this trio the holy or the unholy trinity. This trio is described and shown to us in verse 13, where there's this person known as the dragon. We believe the dragon here refers to Satan himself. And there's also the beast here. This beast would be the Antichrist. And there would be the false prophet. And this trio, the unholy trinity, their doing would be described for us in Revelation 13. So if you want to know more about who this three persons are, you can read Revelation 13, where the Bible will describe how the Antichrist will deceive all kindreds, all tongues, and all nations. And he will form a one-world government. Together with him, there would be the false prophet who will lead the people in a false religion, in a false worship, in a one-world false religion, in rebellion against God. And the person who is behind these two characters would be Satan himself, where he would energize them, even empower them to do mighty works of deception. So when you look at the world at this time, by the time we come to this battle of Armageddon, the world would now be in the control of Satan, with the Antichrist forming and ruling the world in this one world government, and the false prophet leading the people in a false religion. And you can imagine what this world would be like. This world will be a very terrible time of persecution, especially for God's people. The Bible tells us that during this time, there will be the 144,000 saints who have this special seal from God. And this seal would protect them so that they can go around the world and the nations evangelizing, preaching concerning Christ. But even during this time of the tribulation, there will be many other Christians. But these Christians who do not have this seal will have to go through very severe persecution. These are those who refuse to have the mark of the beast. These are those who still refuse to submit and bow down to the Antichrist and to his false prophet. And these are those, the Bible describes, who will be martyred for the cause of Christ. So during this time of the tribulation, it will be a very severe time of persecution, of turmoil and of unrest. You have the Antichrist together with his false prophet ruling the world on the one hand. On the other hand, God will continue to pour out his wrath and his judgment in the trumpets and in the bowls. But despite this judgment which God will pour on the earth, the world will continue to deny God, reject him, and will rebel against God. And the context of this battle of Armageddon from verse 12 to verse 14 describes this rebellion against Christ. Now the Bible tells us in verse 12 the location where this battle of Armageddon would be fought. Now the name Armageddon itself describes the place. Okay, so the Bible identifies for us the place where this battle would be fought. It is known as Armageddon. So that's the meaning of this name, the battle of Armageddon. The name Armageddon describes the place where it will be fought. Now, exactly where this place is, there are different theologians who have slightly different opinions, but it could be this area of Megiddo. But one thing that the Bible does reveal to us and tell us is that the city, Jerusalem, would be involved. It would be nearby where this battle will be fought. The Bible also identifies the valley of Jehoshaphat as also being involved in the location of this battle. And in verse 12 of Revelation 16, the Bible also describes this place, the great river Euphrates, where it would be dried up. Now, we must not understand the great river Euphrates to be exactly where it is today, because it could change. The geography of the place could change during this time, where the Bible says that it is near this great river Euphrates where it will be dried up, and this would be a place which would be prepared for this great battle of Armageddon. Now, exactly where this would be and exactly the span of this battlefield, the Bible doesn't reveal exactly to us. But it would be somewhere around this region, in the Middle East region, in the region around Mesopotamia. And now the Bible tells us that this place having been prepared, there would be the false prophet with the Antichrist and Satan himself who will be deceiving the whole world, gathering an army to fight against God. So the Bible tells us that this preparing of the place is for the kings of the east. So there would be these armies who will assemble themselves. Many of them would come from the east. And they would be moved and instigated and deceived by this unholy trinity in verse 13. And the Bible tells us that there would be these frogs that would come out of their mouth. Now, exactly what these frogs are, the Bible reveals in verse 14. These frogs that comes out of their mouth are the spirits of devils. So these are demonic beings and agencies who would deceive the hearts of these kings and rulers. And the world and the kings of the earth and the whole world will now get together for this battle of the great day against Almighty God. So what is this battle of Armageddon about? It is really the climax of the world's rebellion against God. As God pours out judgment, they will continue to harden their hearts. They will continue to be stubborn against God. Now you may wonder, how could someone be so foolish to resist and to rebel against God, especially when they already have seen God's wrath poured out on creation, on nature, and even on themselves? When they see all these plagues unfolding, how can someone be so foolish to to rebel against God. Yet do we not see the rebellion of the heart of man even today, despite God's word being preached, and despite how God revealed His greatness and His glory? We see this truth even in Scripture, and it will be the same when the end comes. Now, although the Bible here describes what will happen during the Great Tribulation, we need to realize that all the deception that we see today, the working of Satan today, is all leading up and preparing to this time of the Great Tribulation. The world's philosophies, the world's ideas, the world's systems, the world's entertainment, the world's pleasure, all these things is all leading up and preparing for this one world government and also the one world religion, where Satan will influence and energize the Antichrist and the false prophet to lead the world in a great rebellion against God. And that's where we really need to be very careful, because the world has already started rebelling against God. But there will come a time where their rebellion will be at its climax. But even today, we already see this kind of deception. We already see this kind of stubbornness and rebellion against God. Maybe not as openly yet. Now, it already is quite open. But there will be this battle of Armageddon where it would be very open. But even today, we already see this kind of rebellion against God. You can see this even in the various movements today, where they are now trying to legalize this kind of LGBT movement. And the sad thing is that there would even be churches who would support this kind of movements. What this merely shows to us is how the false prophet will work so closely with the Antichrist, where the one world religion, which most likely will take the face of Christianity, the one world religion, will be in support of the one world government of the Antichrist. And do we not see this kind of rebellion already today? And the frightening thing is that there may be some people who are being used of the devil and being influenced and being deceived, and they do not even realize it. Now, I wonder whether these armies who gathered themselves in fighting this battle against God, do they realize, or will they realize, will they know that they are being used of the devil in this manner? Would they know that they are fighting against God and even against the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? Perhaps some of them may be deceived, because you know that the Antichrist, he would imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. He would imitate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would receive a deadly wound, pretending even to rise again from the dead. It's an imitation of the resurrection, but many would fall prey to this deception. Will you not guard yourselves today? Because the rebellion, the deception, the apostasy, the lawlessness, these things we have already considered in the past few sunset messages. These things are all leading up to this great battle. Isn't it very frightening, the world that we are living in today? And this is where we really need to consider and ask, why has the Lord tarried in His coming? The Lord has tarried in His coming because He wants you and me to still be a witness for the Lord wherever He has placed us and wherever He has called us. We cannot afford to be complacent, to be lazy, to be weary and tired in the work of the Lord anymore, because the world is now filled with deception and lie. And the saddest thing would be now for Christians to be living in the midst of this kind of deception and even embracing it, where we have allowed the philosophy of the world to control our life, where we have allowed even the systems of the world to take hold of our lives. Don't we realize that all these things are just by leading up to this great day of deception? But the Bible now goes on, and that is where our text comes in. Because verse 15 now is the comfort for His saints, the comfort for believers. Now, in the midst of the description of the sixth vow, the Bible tells us now, behold, in verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Now, this word, behold, is a word of attention. It is designed to now draw our attention, to pay very careful attention, to look at this, to fix your attention on this. Don't put your mind anywhere else. Behold, look at this. The Lord Jesus Christ says, He will come as a thief. Now, the meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a thief here only emphasizes one truth. That is the suddenness of His coming. We know on this day of battle, the battle of the Armageddon, this great day of battle, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ will not come stealthily or secretly. So the thief here does not emphasize or describe the Lord Jesus Christ coming quietly. In the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ before the Great Tribulation, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ will come for His church, where He will catch up, rapture His saints unto His own. And there the Lord Jesus Christ will come secretly, quietly. But in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of the Great Tribulation, before the millennium, the Lord Jesus Christ will not come stealthily, quietly, but the Lord Jesus Christ will come gloriously. So the thief here, the coming as a thief, describes this suddenness, very suddenly. Now you can imagine what the scene would be like as now the armies of the world gather in this place where the river Euphrates has been dried up, and they gather in this place, Armageddon, for battle against God. And now perhaps they would be so proud and so arrogant, looking at the size of their army, and now they are challenging God, seeing what can God do against them. In front of them would be their leader, the Antichrist, together with him, the religious leader, the false prophet. And Satan himself could also be filled with pride, looking at this great host of armies that have gathered in battle against God. And then suddenly, without warning, the Lord will come. The Lord will appear. But why is there this sudden switch, this sudden change of thought? This coming of the Lord serves as a warning. It serves as a warning to those who are asleep. It serves as a warning to those who are not ready, those who are not prepared. Hence, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Blessed is he that watcheth." We need to be watchful. And the idea of keeping the garments here, now this word is an interesting word because it means to hold on tightly to your garments. And the idea of hold on tightly to your garments, I believe the picture here would describe how someone is in a ready position where he has put on his garments. He's ready for battle. He's not in his garments of the night, but he's in the garments for battle of the day. So he puts on his garments ready. He's prepared for the coming of the Lord. And this is a warning, but it's also a comfort. Now remember that during the Great Tribulation, there will be many saints who will be persecuted. And some of them could still have been in prison cells. Some of them could still be in torture chambers. Those who refuse to bow down to the Antichrist, to bow down to the false prophet, to worship the image of the beast, those who refuse to take on the mark of the beast, they would be opposed, rejected, persecuted. And sometimes this kind of persecution, you can only imagine, we can only imagine how torturous it will be, how it will torment not only the physical body, but how it will even torment the mind. But the Bible tells us, don't worry, the Lord Jesus Christ will come suddenly as a thief in the night. And for those who are ready, they are blessed. You know, this expression, the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a thief in the night, does not apply and is used not only at the end of the Great Tribulation, that is at the beginning of the millennium when the Lord Jesus Christ will come with his saints in glory. Because this expression, the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a thief in the night, is also used in other passages of Scripture in different contexts. And it emphasizes the readiness, the preparedness, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ will come suddenly. And so for us, Even though we believe that we do not have to go through this great tribulation, while we are still alive and living today, we need to be living in readiness. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ exhorted his disciples in Matthew chapter 24. If you look very briefly at Matthew chapter 24, and in verse 42 and 43, the Bible says here, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." We have already considered this passage of Matthew chapter 24, and we have seen how it describes the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, those signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ describes both before the great tribulation, and there are also events that are described during the tribulation. But even as a whole, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be ready for it. These people who are living during the great tribulation, who have to go through this severe persecution, they have to be ready for the second coming of Christ. But for us today, we too have to be ready. Every Christian must be prepared for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is it that the Bible constantly describes the life that a Christian lives as a battle? Why does the Bible describe it constantly as a warfare? And as a soldier, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you alert? Are you watchful? Are you watchful for your own life, your own spiritual state, your own condition? Have you fallen into complacency? Have you grown lazy? A disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ must be a disciplined follower of his master. How have you been as a Christian? Are you watchful in your family? Are you watchful if you are the husband, as the head of the home? Have you been watching over the spiritual condition and the spiritual state of your spouse, of your children? Have you cared for their spiritual well-being? Or have you been so consumed and distracted by the things of the world, by your own ambition? Or have you just been so weary and tired? Have you been watchful? Have you been watchful as a mother of your own child? Have you been watchful as a friend? Have you been watchful in service as a member of this church? Have you been watchful in your workplace, your conduct, your testimony, your life? Have you been watchful? Because the Lord Jesus Christ will come as a thief in the night. Now for us, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come for us one day, very soon, to catch us up, to take us home, if the Lord tarries. If not, we still have to be watchful, because the life that we live is very short, and the world will continue to be living in rebellion, even open rebellion against God. The world will continue to increase in lawlessness and sin. We need to be watchful, hold fast. This is a comfort as well as a warning for his own. That is verse 15. But now the Bible describes the victory. The battle of Armageddon is a very unique battle, because it's a battle where there will not be the clashing of swords. There will not be the firing of weapon. The battle of Armageddon will end very swiftly. Just even before it begins, it will end. This is a very unique battle. When the Lord Jesus Christ now returns and he comes, and when they gather together in this place called Armageddon, the Bible now tells us from verse 17 what will happen during this battle. The seventh angel will now pour out this vial into the air in a very strange way, in a unique way. This bowl will be poured out in the air. And what will happen is that there will be a great voice that will come out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Now, what is this, "It is done"? I believe that this would correspond to Revelation 19. Okay, if you read Revelation 19, you turn to it for a moment. And in verse 11, Okay, because here it also describes the battle of Armageddon. So what is this opening of heaven where the voice comes out from heaven saying, it is done? I believe it corresponds to Revelation 19, verse 11, when the Bible says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. This battle would be victorious. The Lord Jesus Christ will come in victory. This is a unique battle because the saints who will return with the Lord Jesus Christ do not even have to lift up their sword. The Lord Jesus Christ himself will fight this battle. And the word will just come forth out of his mouth as a sharp sword, and all the enemies of the world who have risen up against God, they will all lose and they will all fall. And now the Bible tells us it is done. The battle is over. Christ is victorious. Just even in a moment, the battle is won. This is the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Bible tells us there will be two cities that will be involved over here. In verse 19, there will be this great city which was divided into three parts. Okay, coming back to Revelation 16, okay, you look at verse 19. There is this great city which was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And then there's another city, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, the first great city, I believe here, refers to Jerusalem itself. Now, Jerusalem at this time would have been polluted. It has adopted the idolatry of Sodom and of Egypt. So the great city here is already a city which is polluted, corrupted, where it's supposed to be the holy city of the Lord. It is now a city of rebellion, which is why this city has to be divided into three parts, that judgment will come upon it. And then the Bible tells us, so the cities of the nations, right, fell, and great Babylon also would fall. Now, this great Babylon is the capital city of the Antichrist. And this great city, Babylon, now where exactly it would be, we also do not know. But this great city, Babylon, the capital city of the Antichrist, would fall. And the Bible describes it as it would be given to give her unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, the expression here would describe how the Lord Jesus Christ will crush Babylon, like how one would tread on the winepress. And I believe here this expression is similar to the expression found in Revelation 19, verse 15. In Revelation 19, verse 15, the Bible says, at the end of it, okay, you look at the end of it, he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. In other words, all these nations which rise themselves and rose up against God, they would be threaded down like a winepress, like how someone would crush grapes in order to get wine. This is the picture. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ will fight a victorious battle. All this world who would rise up in their attempt to fight against God would lose. And at the end of it, the Bible says that every island would flee away, every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail. And when you come to Revelation 19, okay, the Bible will describe the end of the battle of Armageddon. Okay, you come to the end of Revelation 19. The Bible tells us that the armies of the world will gather against God. And in verse 20, at the end of it, after they are defeated, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So the beast, that is the Antichrist, and the false prophet, they will be cast alive into the lake of fire, which will burn continually with brimstone. And at the end of the battle of Armageddon, in verse 21 of Revelation 19, the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the throne, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. In other words, all who stood up in rebellion against Christ will perish. They will be utterly destroyed. Now, they will not be cast into the lake of fire yet, but they will be cast into hell first. And this would be the end of the battle of Armageddon. And this would be the end of all of man's kind rebellion against God. All their stubbornness, all their pride, all their arrogance would culminate in this event. But it would just result in a great and mighty defeat. But this is the warning that we need to pay attention to today. Because the Lord Jesus Christ will fight a victorious battle. But are you on his side? Are you on the Lord's side? The Lord Jesus Christ will fight this victorious battle where all who oppose him will be defeated. But have you been opposing the Lord Jesus Christ? Though you may profess to be a Christian, but are you merely a Christian in name? Yet the way you live, the way you behave, you are one who has Satan as your master. You have really been serving the world. You have identified yourself with the systems of this world, preparing for the system of the Antichrist. Though you may not have the mark of the beast now, because there will come a time where during the Great Tribulation, they would wear the mark of the beast, those who serve the Antichrist. But yet, if you look at your life, are you in reality also wearing his mark already? If you are such, then what will await you will only be destruction. The only way where we can enjoy and be part of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ is if you are truly his saint, if you are truly his own. The only way we can escape this death and destruction of all who would rebel against Christ is if we are a follower of Christ. And this is what this Sunset Gospel Hour is all about. This whole series of messages that we have been considering is really where we have to think very carefully. Some of you who are in this sanctuary this evening, have you believed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a child of God? Are you born again? Are you one who will be on the Lord's side? Would you be one who will return with the Lord Jesus Christ on this day of battle? Because we know that for us, if we are truly born again Christians today, if the Lord tarries and we are raptured and caught up, then we will also return with the Lord Jesus Christ for this battle with our glorified bodies. And if the Lord so wills that we perish, we die now, then one day we will also be resurrected. And we will also return with the Lord Jesus Christ in this day of battle. But will you be one who will be seated on this white horse, clothed in white linen, and returning with the Lord Jesus Christ and are on his side? You can only be on his side if you have accepted and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you would confess and acknowledge all your sins, you would turn away from it. You will forsake the world. You will forsake its systems. The world, you do not want it to have any hold or pull on you anymore. And you say that you would serve and worship Christ alone. He alone is your master and your Lord. Then you are on his side. And this also applies to Christians. If you believe that you are truly a born-again believer, yes, you will not lose your salvation. But we need to begin living as such. Because the Bible tells us we cannot be careless anymore. We cannot be complacent anymore. We need to be watchful. The world is so dangerous. The world is so deceptive. But do not worry. Be comforted. Press on. Hold on still, because our Savior, our Lord, He comes soon. But until then, would you labor on for Him? Would you press on? There are some who grow weary and tired even in service. Maybe the persecution is too severe. Maybe the battle is too hot. Sometimes even when we think of the battles that we have to fight, even just in the battle of in the church, there are battles that we have to fight from without. All the different falsehoods, all the different false movements, all the different false teachings. And then the battle from within, the battle for unity in the church. The battle for godliness, the battle for testimony, and false teachers which may creep even within our midst. All these battles that we have to fight. Sometimes we may feel so overwhelmed, even so confused. We still have the Word of God to guide us still, but hold on, press on, because the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and He will come in victory. This is the battle of Armageddon. Now, by the grace of God, by the time we see this battle, I pray that all of us would already be with the Lord Jesus Christ on His side. Because if the Lord tarries, and you are not truly a born-again believer, then you may have to go through this time of tribulation. And if only then you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, what you have to go through would be this severe persecution. But be not deceived, because do not think that if I go through the tribulation and when the Antichrist now reveals himself, then I would believe and I'll be converted. Be not deceived. Because if you remain stubborn now, and if you are rebellious now, and if you are deceived now, what makes you think that even during the tribulation, if the Lord tarries, that you have to go through the tribulation? What makes you think that during the tribulation, you will not remain as stubborn, as rebellious, and as arrogant? Today is a day of salvation. The deception that we see in this world will lead up to this great deception. The lawlessness will lead up to that lawlessness. And all the rebellion of the world will lead up to this great rebellion in this day of Armageddon. The Lord Jesus Christ cometh quickly. But we thank the Lord that when He comes with victory. Would you be on His side? And would you hold on? Let us pray. O Lord, our God, Thou art almighty, Thou art holy, Thou art righteous. And when we see the rebellion, the unrighteousness, the wickedness, the lawlessness in this world, at times we feel frightened. We feel frightened because we shiver to think of the kind of rebellion the world will raise against Thee. We are also frightened because we know how deceiving this world is. And O Lord, forgive us if we have allowed ourselves to be sucked in and even deceived by the systems, by the philosophy, by the attractions of this world. We know how the devil knows our weaknesses. He knows how to tempt us. He knows how to cause us to fall. But, O Lord, we thank Thee that we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our captain. He is our master. He is our protector, our defender, our shepherd. And we know that as long as we look unto Him, we are safe. So, Lord, as we continue to fight the battles we have to fight today, may You help us to always be faithful and fervent, looking unto our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. But Lord, we pray for those in our midst, some who still have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. May You move their hearts today. We also pray for Christians, some who have grown cold in service, some who have backslidden, some who have strayed from the narrow path, we pray you will draw our hearts back to thee again. We know that when our Savior returns, he will return with victory. And O Lord, as we await the coming of our Lord and Savior, help us to ever be watchful, sober and vigilant. We thank thee for thy word. May thou keep thy word and thy truth in our hearts. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.